Are you sitting comfortably? Then we'll begin.
This is Amy Barker.
And this is Richard Gray.
And from the Geek Actually Studios, this is the podcast Pillow Fort. Coming up today, we're going to cover an amazing array of new podcasts that have come out in the last couple of weeks.
Then we'll have a new inductee into the Podcast Hall of Fame.
And we're going to have our very first Tiny Triumph.
And finally, we'll end, as always, with those segments that stuck.
So grab your headphones, a tall drink, and join us in the Pillow Fort.
We're back. This is episode two.
Oh my God.
We got to say up front that we had really, really, really good reaction to the first episode.
I am floored.
We're going to get into some of that feedback in a minute. But yeah. One of the things that we should say just up front, two things, is that if you visited the site, www.podcastpillowfort.com this week, you may have noticed, particularly if you're on a mobile, that it was directing to something less than Pillow 40.
Well, there may have been pillow fights.
There may have been pillow fights in there, yes. I definitely remember seeing a whole lot of pillows.
But
it wasn't a site. Yes, we were hacked. Geek Actually Network did get hacked this week, but we had the hazmat team in, and it's all cleaned up now.
Yay.
Touch wood.
Yes, yes.
So, but first of all, Amy, let's thank a bunch of people.
Oh, my goodness. The list.
The list is amazing. And, of course, if you've ever listened to a Geek Actually show, we can't thank people without a little bit of this. That's right. It's the girl from Ipanema. A little bit of a different version this time. But the first bit of feedback we had was from Alessio D'Annunzio, who is a long-time listener.
Yay!
Alessio, we're not going to read all of these out because we do have a show to get through and we've got a lot of feedback.
Yeah, we do.
But Alessio said, "Hi, podcasters, long-time subscriber to the Geek Actually feed, first-time listener to the podcast Pillow Fort. Amy Barker and Richard Gray have taken a well-tried formula and turned it on its head."
Oh, that's
Gray
so
and Barker, that's us.
That's us.
Have done a Leonardo DiCaprio and gone all podcast inception on the listeners. A podcast about podcasts, combining it with a clever band you would expect from Margaret and David from the movie show on SBS, and the easy listening of Larry Emder and Kylie Gillies on the morning show. Yeah, I'm assuming you're Larry.
Yeah, that's duh. Right.
Being a podcast file myself,
podcast.
No. No, hey. Amy, no. I'm quite selective about the podcast I listen to.
I agree. So many podcasts.
Look, there's a bit, hang on,
so
I'm just going straight to the bit
time.
Where it says something about me. It says, "Richard, a veteran podcaster from his other exploits. Amy, the new voice on Geek Actually, brings in a freshness and enthusiasm which makes this podcast worth lending an ear to hear."
Thank you so much. I'm touched to be so welcomed.
He gives us 5 stars. You know who else gives us 5 stars?
Who?
Geek Betty, one of the oldest fans of the Geek Actually Network.
Longest standing fans.
Sorry, Geek Betty. one of the longest standing fans says, "Utterly charming and lots of fun." This is left, of course, on the Podcast Pillow Fort feed on iTunes.
Which we do have,
and we actively encourage all of our listeners to go and leave us feedback on iTunes, because that's how we move up the iTunes rankings.
Absolutely, and don't forget to leave us some nice 5 stars, please.
Oh, yeah, no, this one was particularly good. I love Podcast Pillow Fort is utterly charming.
I know.
It's good. Very easy on the ears and a whole lot of fun.
Yay.
Will definitely be a regular download for me. I'm always on the lookout for something new and different. I have no patience for waiting through iTunes.
Neither do I.
Well, this is why we're doing the show.
Exactly. Well, I guess I have to now.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you're making me.
I will do it for you. Yes.
You are making me listen.
I am.
To thousands of podcasts everywhere. So it's great to have a show dedicated to podcast recommendations from people whose opinions I trust. Although you don't really know Amy yet. She could lead you astray.
Absolutely. So. Garden path. Down we go.
"I've been listening to Richard for years on the Geek Actually Network and love his podcasting style." Well, of course you do. My voice is rich and fruity like jam. "He and Amy make a great team." We try. We just plow through it the best we can. "They sound like they've been podcasting together for years. We have just not been recording it."
That's right. This is a discussion we have in the lunchroom. We just decided to record it.
Usually when I'm sitting there playing Simpsons Tapped Out, you're trying to get my attention.
Pretty much.
They have a nice easy banter going, which we've just been doing. We're
really?
Demonstrating it.
We
Look
do?
At that. That's what we do. We're
back
demonstrating
forth,
the banter.
Back and forth.
They both have terrific voices for radio. And faces too.
Yeah.
That's not what she said.
Great
that
face
was
for radio.
As I've come to expect from the Geek Actually Studios, production is really slick, well-researched, fast-paced, and sounds great. Well done. Props, major props, of course, to David McVeigh.
Absolutely.
Who's waving, which you can't see because this is podcast.
Sound. And you can't see because there's
he's
sound.
He's just sitting in the corner playing with his iPad.
Literally.
But he's producing up a storm.
Yes.
Is what we'll say.
Couldn't do it without him.
John Friswell over on Facebook, which is the other place. We actually put this out on the Bit Behind the Panels Facebook page,
yes,
and Geek Actually Facebook page. We don't have our own yet.
Not yet.
But we might work on that.
Yeah.
Hi, guys. It was pretty good for a pilot. It's different to hear. That's a backhanded compliment, John.
That's okay.
But thank you, though. It's different to hear one of your podcasts without David McVeigh, but it was interesting. Are we checking out the Smartest Man in the World podcast? You really should.
If you haven't,
kittens,
seriously,
go listen to the show.
Not right this minute.
Not now,
but
listen
maybe
to this one.
A little bit later.
No, wait till you finish this show.
Yes.
Then get back.
Yes.
Question, though, where is Film Actually? That's a good question. It is coming back. We
Yay.
Will be coming back with that. In what? Who the hosts will be and in what format, we don't know, but there will definitely be at least two Davids.
Yay.
Because we can't have enough
wrong
Davids.
Without.
Yeah. So look, Dave Longo is off shooting a film, so which is why those films have been on hiatus. But, you know, you've still got two podcasts. You've still got this one and Behind the Panels.
Absolutely.
Where we're doing the Dave's Not Here specials at the moment. finally, Doc Deacon says, great show. Always catching up on 99%. Already catching up on 99% Invisible, which we'll be talking about more
later
in this episode.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Serial sounded interesting too, so I've lined that up next. Also, we'll be talking about that again.
Absolutely.
Nice to hear something a little different. Friend from the Geek Actually Network. Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
People, I am charmed.
I'm touched.
I am touched in ways that I've never been touched
Absolutely.
Before.
Absolutely, in the nicest possible way. Absolutely. No, it's very good. And like I was saying to Richard before we started recording is that, you know, I came into the Geek Actually sort of family here, and I'm so touched with all the warm remarks and the just feeling so welcomed here. So thank you.
Well, we're in for the long haul now, Amy.
I know. You're stuck with me. Not going anywhere.
Well, that was the first listener feedback
yes.
that we've ever had. That's the section that we're doing the first section that we've done before for the second time.
Yes.
Go back and listen to that sentence.
Yes.
And to get myself.
Three times fast.
Three times yes. really quickly. I'm going to get myself out of that segue. Really awkward segue with a bit of this. This is the section that we sometimes do news, sometimes we just talk about new podcasts.
Yep.
And because there have been a metric shit ton.
I think that's the actual measurement. There is a metric shit ton.
You got the scales out?
Yes. Yeah, yes. I did that before.
Have you verified this?
I have verified this.
Excellent.
I have.
Okay,
it's
fantastic.
Done.
It's a metric shit ton.
Absolutely.
Of new podcasts
yes.
out this week. We have Serial, which we spoke about
yes.
Last week, but This continues to be a fascinating one.
See, this is the thing, because Serial, when we spoke last time, it had just come out and they dropped two episodes. But I think it was sort of the beginning of this whole sort of just this onslaught of new podcasts. And the thing I really like about this one is this long form that they're going for.
It's fascinating because this is the fourth episode that's just dropped at the time of recording.
Yeah, just now.
And it's a story that plays out. Let's just play a little bit of, for those of you who didn't tune in last week, just play a tiny clip from the first episode, just to give you an idea of what it's all about.
Before I get into why I've been doing this, I just want to point out something I'd never really thought about before I started working on this story. And that is, it's really hard to account for your time, in a detailed way, I mean. How'd you get to work last Wednesday, for instance? Drive? Walk? Bike? Was it raining? Are you sure? Did you go to any stores that day? If so, what did you buy? Who did you talk to? The entire day, name every person you talked to. It's hard. Now imagine you have to account for a day that happened 6 weeks back, because that's a situation in the story I'm working on, in which a bunch of teenagers had to recall a day 6 weeks earlier. And it was 1999, so they had to do it without the benefit of texts or Facebook or Instagram.
How barbaric.
I know. So that's the host, Sarah Koenig? I'm not sure.
Koenig? Let's go with Koenig.
Yeah, let's go with that. And this comes out of the This American Life. I mean, it has that very This American Life sound to it. WBEZ is producing this, and Ira Glass is involved as well. So it does have that sound to it, but, you know, with This American Life, you do get those sort of disjointed.
Yeah.
You know, you get maybe one episode has like two or three or sometimes four stories.
Yeah.
Whereas this one, they're going to carry it out over I don't even think they've said, have they, how long each session is going to run
for? Last week we said something like 8 episodes, but I'm not quite sure if that's been set in stone yet.
Exactly.
Because we're up to episode 4, and in my mind there's still so much that could be said about this case.
Just getting started.
There's so many questions, because it is a story.
Murder mystery.
It's a murder mystery, yeah. Effectively. It's about somebody who's claiming that he didn't kill his girlfriend.
Yes.
She's actually going back to this town and investigating all the things. One of the frequent comments about this show is that it because of the presentation of it, you're making assumptions as you go along.
Yes,
and she is too,
yes.
Because we're discovering it with her.
Absolutely.
So this is not so much of a problem I have with the show, but because I actually really, really love the show, but I find myself going, oh, yeah, absolutely, that's the case. And then the new bit of evidence will present itself 10 minutes later.
And you're going, wait a minute.
Yeah.
And that's, I think we've gotten so used to having this space where the whole story has been researched and produced and been put out there. But
just go to the little wiki box on the side and go, right, he did it.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, Law and Order and all these things that have just made us realize, okay, you know, here's the beginning, here's the middle, here's the end. And this is not like that. It's so not, I was saying, it's all gray.
Not least of which, I'm used to that.
Yeah.
Not least of which, 15 years later,
yes.
She's investigating this. She actually addresses this on an interview that she did on it's a different podcast.
Yeah.
I don't have the... I don't quite remember where this is from, but we'll put the link on our show notes.
Yeah.
This is just a very short clip where she actually addresses that very phenomenon.
And it's nerve-wracking. It's hard because some people are unhappy already with me, you know, and I'm having to say to them, like, don't worry, we'll get there, like, trust me, you know. But it's hard, you know, it's really hard. They're hearing, well, you're only saying this side and you're only talking, you know, and it's like, I will get there, I promise, or you know, I'm trying to kind of keep it cool as we go, and I've never been in that position before.
Exactly. And the thing, I think we were talking about this earlier, was that I'm not sure if they're going to come at it from the other side, because the whole story at this point has been about the person who was convicted of this murder.
Yeah.
And are they going to come at it from the family of the murdered girl?
Yeah.
And not, you know, oh, you know, how do they feel and do they think that he did that? But from the research perspective and, you know, what do they know of the story?
And what their willingness to participate is and
absolutely.
All that sort of stuff.
Absolutely.
The story itself is fascinating because it is about, it touches on all those things that you
exactly.
wouldn't normally get into in a short form
exactly.
story. Like,
It's the luxury of time.
Like even profiling. Like even, because he's originally, his family's from Pakistan.
Exactly.
So there's the whole profiling in a small town kind of thing and,
exactly.
and all that sort of stuff. But from all accounts, he was like loved by everybody.
Yes.
So it's kind of one of those really
and
fascinating
stories.
And there's
all the cultural differences, you know. So it's fascinating. And I know we did touch on it before, but, you know, this is one of many, many podcasts that have just come out.
But speaking of cultural differences,
the
first episode of Hound Tall, I said it right, Amy.
You
said that I'd probably say it wrong.
Yep.
Now, what I won't say right is, how do you
pronounce Moshe Kasher.
Moshe Kasher, who is a comedian,
podcaster.
And podcaster. Yep. This is a new one out from the Nerdist Network.
Yay, we love the Nerdist.
Who do a billion podcasts, including the one we spoke about last time, which was Mike and Tom Eat Snacks.
Yes.
And, of course, the Nerdist podcast as well, which has some great interviews.
Love that one.
But this one is a new... Oh, Amy, you introduced this one to me. Why don't you tell us a bit about
it? Yeah, so this is Moshe Kasher, and it's going to be a live monthly podcast, even though they've already put out two, and it hasn't been a whole month. And what they're going to do is they're going to go to the UCB Theater, the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater in California, and they'll have a panel of comedians. The host will be Moshe Kasher and an expert talking about something. So the first one that they've had was Jillian Lauren, who is the author of Some Girls, My Life in a Harem, and talking about her experiences living in a harem. And he was saying, I actually wrote this down because he said, it gets creepy and sexy, which is kind of how you'd think life would be in a harem, a little creepy and possibly a little sexy. But Moshe Kasher is very, he's a comedian, he's very, you know, he knows how to work a crowd, he comes into this with a lot of experience. It's a funny thing because I have a feeling I'm going to come at this, and if I like the topic and if I like the panelists, and I don't know that I'm going to be every single one.
The second episode dropped and I just wasn't as interested in the topic.
No,
so
me neither.
I haven't listened to that one through.
Me neither.
But, or the panelists for that matter. And it was just...
Exactly.
But this one... fascinated me.
Yeah.
And the way that the comedians interplayed with the guests
yes.
was quite interesting. And I just want to play a little clip from that.
Now, I'm worried about the minutiae here. Was your rent taken care of while you were gone? I, New York is very expensive. I don't know if you guys have been, but I'm worried.
This was a different time, though, and I was, like, living with multiple roommates on the Lower East Side. It wasn't
a mini harem.
From harem.
You just upgraded
harem.
Your harem.
So you're saying, but you moved out, basically. You packed your bags and moved to
Brunei. No, I kept my bed there, and I don't remember.
It got bed bugs while you were
That's
gone.
A good
Things
question.
Changed.
I don't remember. But yeah, I think my rent was not that significant.
They just sent someone to hold your place. It's a guy sitting on your bed with a silenced handgun. I'm roommate now.
he's got a t-shirt on that says Brunei.
I listened to that clip about five times.
I know, me too.
They do get crazy. They do get crazy and sexy
yes.
on this show.
Yes.
I think we won't play all the clips I've got here, but I do want to play one more.
I know which one you're going to play.
Because it'll have me bursting to song, possibly.
Oh, no.
When they were talking about his name, which was, his name was Jeffrey, but never call him Jeffrey.
No.
He's something. It's they said, they got into a bit of this.
His full name was like four pages long.
You don't even know.
I don't even know. I mean, it was really.
It was like a memorizing
it,
long.
I think I know what it was. It was Prince Ali, Ali Ababa. Guys, I feel like.
Riff raff.
Street
raff.
I don't mind that. If only they'd look closer. When they see a magic dancer,
gotta take a chance, gotta look around, gotta go around, but red dot.
Brilliant, brilliant. And so I think you get a sense of the tone
yes.
of Hound
yes.
Tall. Hound yes. Tall is the name of the podcast.
And it took me having to actually say the title of the podcast out loud to get the joke.
I know, and you had to
explain
it to
me. I did, sadly. I had it written down, and we were talking about it, and I looked at and then I finally said, oh, Hound Tall. Oh, wait, Town Hall. Yeah. Okay, I was a little slow on the uptake there.
Explain it to me again. From the sublime to the from the ridiculous to the sublime.
Yes,
perhaps
yes.
Amicus, which is Slate's new Supreme Court podcast, wouldn't have even been in my wheelhouse had you not brought this one.
No. And the thing is, and we talked about this a little bit with Serial, that we've come into real true crime talk, and that's a really popular genre, not only television, books, and we're always going into that, but it's really interesting to see the people who actually are in the courtrooms all the time reporting about it and are passionate about it,
because the Supreme Court in the US is at the moment is garnering a lot of controversy and garnering a lot
absolutely.
Of discussion, and one of the things they touch on in these is what's actually on the slate
yes
for the upcoming
yes, yes.
Thing the upcoming I was gonna say season but the upcoming session.
Go all Law and Order on them.
Dun, dun.
We need to have a Chung Chung in there.
I'll get that on the soundboard for next time.
Yes, yes.
But the thing is, because I have a background in law, and I do remember with studying law about the US stuff, that two things always surprised me. One of them was the fact that blogs,
yes,
like Bob Blah Blah's Law Blog, blogs were always like they. Lawyers and attorneys and whatnot
yes.
and people working in the US court system look to these blogs for like interpretations
That's
of
amazing. Okay,
and it's a really strong culture there
yes.
in the US to a lesser extent to what we have here where
yes.
it's very much still where it's taken a while for even electronics to sort
right.
be accepted into the Australian
yes.
court system. The name of the podcast
yes.
Amicus
yes.
is taken from the expression amicus curiae
okay.
which means friends of the court in Latin and this
go.
Is another thing in the US which we don't really have here is that these friends of the court can submit things
yes.
to the court as non-partial as impartial quote unquote air quotes impartial observers
radio.
To add to the proceedings. Now the problem
yes.
this has been a big controversy lately and it's been
yes.
coming up on things like Colbert and Stewart and whatnot
yes.
where they've been talking about the fact that these people are not necessarily impartial. Uh-huh. But that's just where the title
comes
from.
Is anybody impartial? Really? Impartial?
Yeah, but that's what the name comes from. So I thought that was just a really interesting show. But I'm glad you put me onto this one because there's some really, really, really good discussions.
Really good discussions. This one with Douglas Laycock about the Muslim prisoner and the length of his beard, whether or not he can have a beard. He's a prisoner in Arkansas.
A subject near and dear to my heart.
Well, yes.
Well, near my chin, really.
Well, yes.
Yeah.
And whether or not he should be allowed to grow a beard. And the length of the beard. And
this is exactly. Actually a recording that they played from the Supreme Court submission.
Yes.
At oral argument this week in Holt versus Hobbs, a case involving the beard length of a Muslim prisoner incarcerated in Arkansas, Justice Samuel Alito had great fun with the hypothetical things you could hide in a beard question.
Well, as far as searching a beard is concerned, why can't the prison just give the inmate a comb? You could develop whatever kind of comb you want and say, comb your beard. And if there's anything in there, if there's a SIM card in there or a revolver or anything else you think can be hidden in a half-inch beard, a tiny revolver, it'll fall out.
That amazes me that that's part of the discussion.
I've got a revolver in my beard right now.
Hand that man a comb. It's ludicrous. I mean, it really, yeah. I can't imagine. I mean,
we're seeing mirrors in, I mean, without getting into the politics of it, you know, we're seeing mirrors in Australia with, people being allowed to wear burqas in parliament and all that sort of stuff. It does seem a little bit, systematic targeting of a group.
Yes, of course.
Based on current global politics. Yes. But it has gotten to a ridiculous point. But that's the sort of interesting discussion you get out of Amicus.
Yes, and I
which I didn't expect.
No, me neither. And I mean, they're very, these people are very passionate about the Supreme Court and what's happening and the upcoming discussions. And so, but like I said, it is really interesting to not just hear some talking head on the news who's brought in because they're cute, but because they actually have something to say and they work with these things all the time.
And it's interesting because the U.S. Supreme Court, the personalities of the Chief Justices.
Yes.
People so know important. Them a lot more than they know the High Court people here in Australia.
Absolutely.
Unless it's someone who's quite prominent, like we had a Justice Kirby or someone you don't really get to know them as well. I mean, right. I couldn't name the people on the High Court here, but I know more of the Supreme Court people.
Of course.
In the US, people like Justice Scalia
and
Sotomayor and people like that. Absolutely. I always mispronounce her name. but we've got time. I'll play this other clip too, because this is actually when they're talking about the types of cases that they will be covering throughout the rest of the season.
Yes.
Teed up are the mother of all big social constitutional issues and the fate of Obamacare. So in my defense, there's going to be a lot of ultra super cool stuff coming out of the Supreme Court. So we are, I think, inevitably not that far down the road going to get the same-sex marriage case that we've been talking about. Then we have these incredibly important cases coming out of Texas, both on the future of affirmative action in higher education and on abortion rights. And then there's this sleeper attack on Obamacare that is sitting in front of the justices in a cert petition and also in front of the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals in Washington. And all of those have the potential to be blockbusters, or at least I hope they will.
Exactly. That was Tom Goldstein, the publisher of the SCOTUS blog, just talking about with the host. Oh, and her name's going to slip my mind. Dahlia
Lithwick.
I like Dahlia.
It's a good name.
Yeah, it is a good name. So they were just talking about some of the things that were coming up.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's huge. You know, you hear about all these things on the news, but to get that inside scoop is pretty cool.
That SCOTUS blog is one of those type of blogs I was talking about.
Yes.
Like, they're huge in the States for law people. And I don't get it, because as someone who did law in Australia, it was all case law.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah. So.
And even now, that isn't, I mean, you've been out of the game a little while.
I've been out of the game a little while, but slowly, like, it's a hot, we could do our own.
We could go there. We could go there.
But it is an odd thing.
Yeah.
But going from law, which was my wheelhouse, to something that, look, you know, I'm going to be honest, I'll never be a mother.
Really?
Like it's not going to happen for me.
There's so many jokes.
But in Australia, Mia Friedman is a bit of a personality, a mother.
Yes.
She is Mamma Mia.
She is.
And the mamamia.com.au blog has been running forever.
Yes.
Or seemingly. And before that, she was
editor of a gazillion magazines. Yeah.
But she's got a blog now.
Yes.
A blog. A podcast.
A podcast. Technically Mamma Mia Aloud, the host is actually Kate Lever, who's one of the senior editors at Mamma Mia. And
it's just that Mia Friedman's been a guest on both shows.
Both shows. They've had two shows out. The first one came out, and then just this week, just a couple days ago, the second one came out. And yes, it is very different from the last one. This is very... I was thinking about how to sort of describe this one, and it's kind of like... It's for the women who stand in the queue at the grocery store and like flip through the women's magazines, but don't actually buy them out of, you know, oh, look, I'm too much of a feminist to buy this magazine, but I will spend 5 minutes reading it when I'm on, you know, in the queue waiting.
Or if it's in the kitchen at work.
Exactly. Or if it's in the kitchen at work. But I would never spend money on it because, you know, I'm too good for that. So that's kind of how I think about Mamma Mia is that's that concept that they will talk about these things, but they actually get into the issues a bit more.
Because this is the thing, they've got into some pretty deep stuff.
Yes
and no. They got into stuff I didn't expect them to get into.
Yes, exactly.
The first episode they get into sexting,
yep.
Or it's apparently the kids are calling it now nudes.
Nudes.
And
learn something new every day.
What I thought was interesting about the discussion, because I didn't agree with everything that they were
saying. No, I didn't either.
But I liked the way that they steered the discussion to talking about, you know, that it's changed the whole discourse of dating.
Yes.
How one of them felt as though she had to get over her self-consciousness about having dick pics sent to her.
Yes, yes.
And then I kind of didn't go, no. If you're uncomfortable with that, stay uncomfortable with it.
Yeah, that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that.
But it was interesting that the conversation went that way.
Absolutely.
So, that's what I liked. That's what kind of dragged me into the show.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's an intelligent conversation.
Yeah.
You know, about some things that are, you know, good and some things that are kind of fluffy.
Episode 2, they get into Jackie Lambie, who's our right wingest politician.
Oh, my God. They so get into that.
Yeah.
But with the sexting thing is, or the nudes, as we've been, the part of that conversation that I found really interesting was how they said, how do you talk to your children about this?
Yeah.
And it is, I mean, I don't have kids, so I don't have to thankfully have this conversation. But if this is part of the landscape of adolescence, that they will sext and they will send nudes, do you just say, well, don't send it with your face so that you can't be identified? I mean, is that
how do you start that conversation?
Yeah. How do you have that conversation with a 15-year-old? I'm like, thank God I don't have to have it.
No.
But it's
I mean,
fine.
I've had the conversation with a 15-year-old. They weren't my kids. And it was just really weird.
And then the cops came.
Yeah, well, I'm not allowed to sext anybody anymore.
Well, so you know. But having said that, the other two from that episode were my favorites, which was the clean eating one, because
really
I
great.
Have such issues with this.
Really?
A few. So they started to discuss a couple of celebrity chefs here. Well, a celebrity chef and a personality here in Australia that have released books about, look, I quit sugar. Mm. Oh, look, I do the paleo diet. And you know what? Good for you. Right fucking on if that's what you want. But it just getting very self-righteous about it. And I think we have a clip of Mia Friedman responding to that discussion.
I'm in two minds of it. I've got my overall theory is that eating less processed food and eating less sugar is a really admirable intention. I think we could all do with that. And there's nothing wrong with that. And I also think, you know what? Eat what you want to eat. It's none of my business what you want to eat. All I can talk about is my own personal experience with trying to, I tried to quit sugar because I do eat a lot of sugar. And I found, you know, as someone with a history of an eating disorder, it sent me back 20 years in terms of all of those behaviours around obsessing about food. I found it exhausting because all I could think about was what I wasn't allowed to eat. And I found that I was just becoming more and more obsessed by it. I felt like a failure all the time. And I didn't want to live that way. What makes me angry and more concerned on a wider scale is when people like Pete come out and talk about autism. And to me, I draw a parallel with anti-vaxxers. Mm. And that idea that celebrities with no scientific background can start drawing these ridiculous links and make these absolutely preposterous statements And because they're famous and they're so much more sexy and interesting and they've got bigger Facebook followings than, you know, the CSIRO or, you know, the AMA, suddenly people hear it and they believe it.
Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And what she was referring to there was this celebrity chef, Pete Evans, and yes, he's the paleo guy. And he said that if you switch to a paleo diet, you can cure autism.
Does this mean you actually have to be fully paleolithic as well?
Yes. You do. Knuckle dragging, the whole bit.
And just start wearing animal skins, that kind
absolutely.
Of thing.
Yes.
Which I might have a problem with as a vegetarian.
Yes. Yeah. Funny that.
Yeah, so I'll do it nude.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, and then I can send photos of myself. Do I
exactly see
it's
it all
connected?
Full circle. Full circle. Brilliant. And you are gonna you're gonna let me talk about The Bachelor, aren't you?
Of course.
Okay.
Okay.
Now I have to preface this with saying I have not watched The Australian Bachelor.
You've been on it.
I've been on it. But I have not actually watched it. The only parts of it that I have engaged with for this season, actually with any of Bachelors, is this particular writer for Mamma Mia, Rosie Waterland, wrote the best recaps. If you've not read them, they're hysterical. Like, just go back and read. Even if you don't live in Australia and you know nothing about The Australian Bachelor, go to MamaMia.com.
No, you showed me one of these and it was...
She's a hysterical writer and they are definitely not safe for work, but, you know, go back and read them. And it really, that whole, all those recaps completely took on a life of their own and people were just bugging her, you know, come. She got to see the end, the finale before everybody else. And she was very critical of the experience of these women going into this house and what it meant. And because she does come at it from a bit of a feminist perspective.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think we have a little clip of Rosie talking about the experience.
I honestly think that, I mean, people joke about all the girls getting Stockholm syndrome, being locked in that house and only loving him. And I think maybe his idea of reality got a bit obscure, like a bit skewed as well. I mean, he was in this competition for 4 or 5 months, being talked about as a king and as a man that all these women loved. And he had 30 women vying for him. And to then go into that interview with Carrie Bickmore on The Project and say, I'm the one who's heartbroken here because I had to let so many women go. I mean, I think that is saying so much about where his mindset is. And I think a lot of that has to do with him being on this show and the perception that he's got of himself now. I think it's...
What do you mean? What is his perception? That he's a victim in this somehow?
Yeah, I honestly think that he does think he's a victim. You wouldn't say something that stupid unless you really believed it. And I think that he's just spent all this time with all these women loving him and all these producers telling him that he's a star and that, you know, he's like the most eligible man in Australia. And he probably has a pretty inflated ego right now and a head just as big as his biceps. And I think he honestly thinks that he's been hard done by.
To be fair, it is really difficult to be impossibly good looking.
Well, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
But... you know, so I sympathize with him to a certain extent. Yeah, it's just something I have to wake up to and stare at for a few hours in the mirror every morning. But it's, you know, like
you manage somehow.
I manage somehow.
You know, you get out of the house and
I've got the stick by the door to beat the women off.
Yes,
you know,
yes,
it's just,
yes.
You know,
but, and yet somehow you still manage to make it through the day and get here.
It's
you know?
Just, you know, there's you might hear that dull screaming outside
of
all the women who have, women folk who have followed
women
me.
Folk.
Women folk and their gingham. No, it is actually, I didn't expect to like the show and I really did.
Yay. I mean, it is, it's pretty girly, but it's okay. And it is nice to hear that perspective and to hear some of these issues that just gets, you know, it's kind of tossed about to actually discussed. And this is the kind of things that women actually do talk about. We sit down and discuss these things.
Well, it's literally on their website. There's photos of them
literally
sitting around on the floor with
a coffee table
with a recorder stuck in the middle.
I love that.
And it's just them recording.
Having a chat.
Yeah. And it sounds really conversational.
It does.
That's what I really like about it.
Agreed. You know, yeah. I'll be listening to that one.
No,
Speaking of which, I do have to say something about episode 2, which I have listened to.
Yes.
And Kate Lever and Mia Freeman are on this one again. And at the very end of their episodes, it seems like they're going to be doing this as a regular thing. They talk about things that they're obsessed with. So the things that they're really, you know, can't get out of their heads. And Holly Wainwright, if I could say her name, is one of the guests on episode 2. And she is obsessing about listening to podcasts. And she's looking for podcasts to listen to.
Sounds like she needs a podcast about podcasts.
You know what? Funny that. I think we may need to give her a little shout out and say, hey, Holly, listen to us. So she's been getting some recommendations from people in the office, but I think we can probably give her a couple too.
I think so.
Yeah.
Well, we're recommending her show.
Absolutely.
So perhaps quid pro quo, Holly.
I agree. All right, Holly, come listen to us.
Well, speaking of shows that you should listen to, it's time that we got into our second podcast Hall of Fame, and it's a show we mentioned last week a little bit. Yes, this is a show that should be familiar to a few of you already.
Yes.
Amy, who is our second Hall of Fame inductee?
I'm going to try to say this without squealing because I do love this show so much. So this is 99% Invisible, and they describe themselves as a tiny radio show about design.
Can I do it?
Go ahead.
This is 99% Invisible. I'm Roman Mars.
Oh. It is. He's got the best voice.
Oh, honestly. Ever. Absolutely. No, I am in voice love with Roman Mars.
I want to curl up inside his voice.
I do too.
And sleep there for a few days.
Absolutely. I'm down. Let's do that.
I want his voice to be our podcast pillow fort.
Oh. But I have to say, because I am a Bucky Fuller fan.
Yes.
The name of the show comes from a Buckminster Fuller quote, which means 99% of who you are is invisible and untouchable.
Oh.
Isn't that lovely? I mean, really. So the whole point of this show, so Roman Mars is a producer and a host, and he started this show in 2010. And it's really cool because his office is also in this office with the American Institute of Architects, and he references them a lot, and he says, we couldn't do this show without them. Mm-hmm. But saying it's a show about design is really just, it's not very...
It doesn't even scratch the surface.
No, not even a little bit. And it is one of the most popular podcasts out there.
I was going to say, let's take this last episode, the most recent one at the time of recording.
Yes, that we were literally just talking about as we were coming over here.
Because I think we both listened to it before we came
here. Yes, yes.
And it starts off talking about electrical systems in big cities.
Yes.
And it starts off talking about Edison going back that far. And then somehow within a space of 15 minutes.
Yes.
Because it's often a very short podcast.
Yes.
He's moved from that to the 1977 New York blackout and the birth of hip-hop.
Birth of hip-hop and how hip-hop wouldn't be what it is today without this particular...
Without electricity.
going down.
Without electricity failing.
Exactly. And people, I hate to say it, looting the stores for their equipment. And that's... But see, this is where the show goes. It goes in so many different directions. So even if you are not... you know, a design person, because I could see if you see that listed, you think, oh, you know, I'm not really into architecture and design and that's not my jam. So I'm not going to go with that one. But, oh man, it is so much more broad than that. This is one of the shows that I recommend constantly to people.
Well, they're obviously listening to you because the sheer number of downloads, like something like 30 million downloads.
It's crazy.
So far,
it's crazy.
It gives you an idea that the audience is not just
exactly
architects and designers.
Exactly.
You
know, exactly.
It is a really easy show to listen to.
Absolutely.
Amy, some of your favorite episodes.
I love. Okay. I have to say, I'm going to go to the third one that's listed here. Episode 71, In and Out of Love, was one of the first ones that I listened to. And I love this because I grew up in the Midwest, in Illinois, and hung out with a fair few skaters back in my day. And
a lot of Bones Brigade videos.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. That was my thing. And so this particular one is about Love Park, which is in Philly, and how this particular park became popular for skaters and how modern architecture, the way it is, made these urban parks completely the perfect space for skateboarding. And they wouldn't exist without this movement in architecture.
Yep.
And so this particular episode, and in this clip that we're going to play here in a second, Roman is talking to a Toronto-based skateboarder, photographer turned radio producer, this guy Andrew Norton, and he is explaining something called, for those of you who are the uninitiated, something called a hubba.
Like, I've watched The Simpsons, and I'm like, you could skate that hubba.
You know what? I guess I do that, too.
Wait, what's a hubba?
A hubba is what skaters call a ledge that runs down a flight of stairs parallel to the stairs. And it's named after a famous spot in San Francisco called Hubba Hideout. Hubba is slang for crack. So I guess people used to hang out there, used to gather there to smoke crack.
It's particularly skateboard worthy.
Yeah, because it's this perfect ledge that runs parallel down the flight of stairs. And, I mean, ask any skater, go to any skate park. You know, every skater will know what a hubba is.
And that is how I'm going to exclusively refer to them from now on.
I love that. See, and it goes, this is the thing, it goes in so many different directions.
The thing I like about this show is that Roman Mars, apart from having a fantastic voice,
yes.
Sometimes you don't know when his narration, his interviewing begins and ends. So yes. You almost get this seamless flow between his narration, him asking a question,
yes.
And then responding, and then him going back into his either narration or another question. So you get this beautifully, almost lyrical
yes,
kind of 15 yes. minutes where it's just stories flowing into each other.
Yes, yes. You know? And I also like how he gets excited about it.
Yeah.
You can see when he's, you know, and he gets a little, you know, squealy about things. It's so cool. Now, do you have,
there's another one. Like one of my guilty pleasures is of course, baseball.
Yay.
And one of the episodes, episode 111, if you're looking back for the earlier episodes, is called Masters of the Universe. Because it's all about uniforms.
Yay.
There are certain things about a uniform that serve a purpose by being uniform. They help the players identify each other. They help us rally behind our team. They give us something cool to buy. But there are certain things on a uniform that aren't uniform. Things that a player can choose.
And the number of things that a player can choose are very, very small. I mean, it was a big controversy when I was a kid when Ken Griffey Jr. shagged balls in the outfield during batting practice with his baseball hat on backwards. It's a big controversy now when a baseball player wears his cap brim totally flat in what you might call the hip-hop style.
As opposed to curved, kind of? Like, is that what you mean?
Yeah, well, I mean, they literally make a device that you can buy at the sporting goods store or order via mail order that will give you, quote-unquote, the perfect curve to your brim. And I remember as a little leaguer obsessing over getting the brim of my hat to curve exactly right. And I was not the only one.
And that was Roman Mars talking to, if you recognize the other voice, that was Jesse Thorne from Maximum Fun. And if you, Jesse Thorne, he is an amazing interviewer and fantastic. But yeah.
They get some amazing people on the
show.
They
really do.
But sometimes some of the best stuff is just from people, you know, archivists or people on the street or whoever.
Yes, yes.
They're just going around talking to people. Like there was one episode I remember listening to, they were talking about these things called Thomasons.
Yes.
Which were, and let's see if I can get this right, it was items that are completely useless.
Yes.
Yet are still functionally maintained.
Yes.
So a set of stairs that goes nowhere.
Nowhere. Yes, exactly.
And you know, we've probably all seen them. Things in our neighborhood that are still maintained.
For no reason whatsoever.
No reason whatsoever. Yes. Only because they're old and they should still be there.
Yes.
And they have no functional purpose anymore.
Yes, yes.
And the name came, but what I learned from that episode,
yes.
Before we get into the what I've been learning
yes.
section, is the fact that was named for, these things are named for this baseball player.
Yes.
Who was like huge in the States, went to Japan to presumably like play big over there.
Right.
Didn't hit a ball.
Bow, bow.
The entire thing. So
absolutely.
He was, yeah.
He was a stinker.
So his family has taken exception to the term being
yeah.
used as a useless
oh.
object.
And I'm not going to give away how they explained their
Ooh.
Distaste for this,
no.
this description. But I think
but it's golden.
And we, absolutely. So that's worth seeking out. But I think we would be remiss to not mention that the Radiotopia Kickstarter at the moment.
Look, Radiotopia is the bigger network,
This
is part of. And
right.
they want to launch a whole bunch of podcasts which are, or have a uniform, hello.
Yay, funny that.
a set of podcasts similar to 99%
yes.
Visible, kind of pull it all together, but they need to pay
yes.
For things like healthcare and all that
yes.
sort of thing. Now, let's just say that this launched only a couple of days ago.
Yes, yes.
And they have so far, of their 250,000 goal, they've already reached 220,000.
Yeah, we just saw
I
that
believe.
Right before.
And just
yeah.
at the time of recording, I guarantee you by the time the show comes out, they will have reached their goal
absolutely.
And surpassed it.
Absolutely.
And no wonder when they've got some of the rewards like this.
This is your phone ringing. I'm Roman Mars.
Oh
my God, I can't wait. Because, I mean, I had to kick in. I am such a 99
yeah.
PI.
I think we end up getting the same reward.
I think so, too.
So we can't even swap the gifts.
I know, like but still. I mean, it's, you know, it's a worthwhile yeah. thing. They do good work, clearly. And
yeah,
like I listen to it enough, so might
and
as
And if
well.
You want to donate to us, go to geekactually.com and click on the donate button.
There you go.
That's how you kickstart us.
Absolutely.
We should do a Kickstarter.
Oh,
we can give away
one day.
Clippings from my beard or something. No, it's an amazing show. Look, I tell you what, because we're plugging their Kickstarter at the moment, and again, they don't need our help, but no. I love the show. Thank you for introducing it to me. But this is a little bit, not just about 99% Invisible, but also about Radiotopia generally.
This is This is Radiotopia. I'm Roman Mars. Radiotopia from PRX is a collective of the best sound-rich, story-driven audio programs in the world. It's kind of like an indie label for the best producers to make their best work. 4 years ago, I created 99% Invisible by myself in my bedroom at night, and two Kickstarters and over 20 million downloads later, we now have this fantastic staff who have produced the best episodes that we've ever made. Now we want to change radio forever with Radiotopia.
Yeah, so I'm an addict now.
Absolutely.
I listened to two episodes today because I got behind with one of them, but it's wonderful. And you can. and once again, donate as our producer David is reminding us, donations at geekactually.com.
So after you've gone to the 99PI and given them a little bit, because they have really small ones you can do. You don't have to do big ones. You can do like a $5 donate. You could then go to geekactually.com and donate.
I want to paraphrase Roman Mars. You were saying about this. He said people have written to him and said, oh, I feel guilty because I can't contribute to you guys and I can't buy your merch and I can't come and do this. Yeah. And it's like, well, don't feel guilty because, you know, we want to raise money, but we don't want to send you to the doghouse in the process.
No.
So we want to say the same thing to our listeners. Whoever feel, oh, I can't chip in right now, I'd really like to. Don't feel guilty about it. Like we're just doing the show out of love. We're going to do the shows anyway.
Absolutely.
So any extra donations or whatever, just help us buy that extra little bit of equipment, get us to Adelaide or Brisbane or something next year, those kind of things.
Absolutely.
You know?
I mean, I'd be listening to the podcast anyway and be coming over to your desk and bugging you and saying, have you heard the new?
And we should point out our desks are about a foot and a half apart.
Sadly. Sad but true. So we officially induct 99% Invisible in the Podcast Pillowfort Hall of Fame. Well done, guys.
Congratulations, Roman. And I believe he has something to say about that.
This is 99% Invisible. I'm Roman Mars.
Of course you are.
Yes, you are. Oh, and I have to say, now, before we step away from this one, and I knew I was going to forget to say this because I didn't write it down. I struggle with sleep. I wake up a couple times a night and can't get back to sleep. One of the things is Roman Mars has this, as you heard, this voice. Oh, that voice that I just can't get over. But because I will listen to I'll listen to an episode three or four times because I'll listen to it once. And then if I can't go to sleep, I'll go back and listen to the same one again because his voice, and they're short.
Yeah.
So it's not like, you know, I'm going to be listening to it for an hour trying to get back to sleep. They're engaging enough to sort of switch off my brain, but they're that voice and, you know, and I go back to sleep. So if you struggle with sleep, make sure you listen to him more than once.
Maybe I should do the rest of the podcast like this.
No, then you just sound like a drag queen. Sorry, you went from Roman Mars to drag queen. Sorry.
It's all true. Hey, Amy.
Yeah.
We have a tiny triumph.
We did. And I have to say, this is the idea of the tiny triumph is stolen shamelessly from one of my favorite podcasts, which I don't think you've had much chance to listen to, but I
listened to a couple of episodes.
I won't judge you on that. There's a show called Extra Hot Great, which I love desperately, and they do tiny triumphs, and so we've sort of stolen this idea from them. And it's the idea that, you know, you have to celebrate the small things in your day, the small things in your week. And actually, this isn't such a small thing.
It's not actually. Because last week, one of the our first podcast, Smackdown, which we won't do every episode.
No, we're going to rotate it. Shake it up.
We're actually rotating right now.
Absolutely.
On our chairs.
We are.
Like a couple of rotisserie chickens.
Now I'm hungry.
Well, speaking of food, it was one of the two shows we did were food shows.
Yes.
And Linda Palaccio, who does the Heritage Network radio show, Taste of the Past.
Yes.
Was one of the shows we put in the Smackdown.
Yes.
And I just tweeted that out and they picked it up. Both her and the network retweeted our show.
They did.
Which was great.
So thank you so much to both of them. That was so lovely. That was so lovely to see.
Hooray for tiny triumphs.
Yay.
So we'll get a proper theme for that later.
Yeah,
on.
One of these days. We'll have to, what we should do is go over to Extra Hot Great and rip theirs off.
Yeah.
Naughty.
Given that I've just been making a video about plagiarism at work, probably not.
No. We shouldn't do that.
So
here we are.
It's time for what we've learned this week.
I'm learning.
Never get tired of Ralph.
Now, we're going to go back and forth, so I'm going to actually touch on the first one.
Okay.
And this is from the AV Club, and if you know their website, they do all kinds of great work. But they have this thing called Podmas, and that's a really hard thing to say three times fast.
Podmas like Christmas, but for podcasters?
It is, and what would the tree look like? But what they do is they go through a bunch of the podcasts that are out there, and they listen to the shows, and they give you a bit of a synopsis. And I have to say, I will be reading Podmas, looking for new things for this show, because, I mean, it's the AV Club. Come on. They do so much good work. But if you're looking for something also, again, different to listen to, have a look at Podmas. We'll make sure we put a link on the webpage.
Maybe we should try and get our show shouted out on there.
We should.
Yeah.
Who do we need to talk to?
Or I'll get my people to talk to their people.
Okay, cool. All right, you're up.
I'm up. Okay, well, one of the things I listened to this week was a show, I think I mentioned this before, Freakonomics Radio Podcast, which is this, if you know the Freakonomics guys, it's Stephen D. Levitt and Stephen J. Dubner.
Yes.
And they apparently explore the hidden side of everything. So it's a very, it's a story.
That's a broad.
Which is a pretty broad mandate, yeah. They do a lot of story-driven podcasts, and this particular one caught my attention because it was called How to Raise Money Without Killing a Kitten.
I like that.
Which I think was originally 2013, but it was rebroadcast on their network this week. But
cool.
Apparently it was really interesting because they said 2.2% of Americans give, Americans give 2.2% of their annual household income to charitable causes.
Nice.
And they had John List on who was arguing that it's about, not about what they were giving to, it wasn't about the charity itself, but for what charity did for them, the giver.
Ah.
And they also cited this study, which I thought was really interesting, that objectively good-looking people, mostly women, got more money on average, as much as 100% increase.
Oh, see, this is why I'm here, isn't it?
It is. It's
clearly.
That's why we're bringing out the donation. So, Amy, if you could just lean close into the mic and tell people to give money at geekactually.com.
I'll work on it.
Amy, what else have you been learning?
Oh, this is okay. There's a really great podcast out there called Good Job Brain. And it's a group of people, four friends, who go to a regular pub quiz type thing. And they realized they were doing really well. And then they started a podcast talking about quizzes and trivia and getting ready for pub trivia. And this one they talked about, this just came up on a completely offhand comment, but I loved it, that in the new fifth edition of the official Scrabble Players Dictionary, some of the words that have now been added to the dictionary are hysterical and sometimes slightly dated. So some of the ones are bromance, selfie, which you'd totally expect.
Totes,
yeah. That's amazeballs. Buzzkill, dubstep. I mean, come on, dubstep, really?
Really? Yeah.
Yeah. Hashtag, mixtape, mojito, which keeps, why do mojitos keep coming into my life? Sudoku and chillax. So if you're playing
mojito
Scrabble.
Took so long to get in there.
I know, right? Or dubstep. I mean, seriously. So if you're out there playing Scrabble, you can use
with a mojito
all of those,
in one hand.
With a mojito in one hand, taking a selfie.
And chillaxing all the
chillaxing
way.
To some dubstep. You can hashtag use these words. So thanks, Good Job Brain, for letting me know about all that new stuff.
No, I don't want to be a buzzkill. But I listened to a science podcast this week.
Podcast.
Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah.
Podcast.
Yeah.
Called Sleek Geeks, because obviously we're interested in all things geeky. This is, of course, Dr. Carl.
Yay.
Dr. Carl.
That's why he goes by Dr. Carl.
And Adam Spencer. So it was like listening to Triple J back in the day.
Absolutely.
And they had an episode called Listen Here to Hear About the Ear. Now, you and I have been known to have a drink because
okay,
once or twice. And because we should say the official drinks of Podcast Pillowfort are tea and beer, one of which I'm drinking right now.
I won't say which.
The whole episode was about learning how ears work, and there's heaps of fascinating stuff about that. And while I could go into lots of detail about different things, parts of the ear, the thing that I found most interesting is why people talk louder when they're drunk. And apparently there's this part of the ear which serves as a feedback loop, much the way that we're wearing headphones now, and it serves as a feedback so we can hear ourselves talking. But that gets anesthetized when you're drinking. So you have to talk louder to hear the same amount of noise when you're drinking. And I thought that was fascinating.
So the woman that shushed me in the pub the other night.
Yes.
Yeah, I can just tell her, look, I was drunk, My feedback loop is not working properly.
That's exactly your response.
Go to hell. Yeah.
It might explain why all drunk Australians have that one voice. So it was, yeah.
Good to know. Yeah. Good to know that that's where that comes
that
from.
That explains that.
Absolutely. We talked a little bit about Slate earlier and one of their new podcasts, but one of the podcasts I've been listening to from them for ages and ages is the Culture Gab Fest. It's kind of like Pop Culture Happy Hour, but it's a little bit more highbrow.
For those of you who don't know, Pop Culture Happy Hour is the NPR one.
Yes, and this is the Slate one. And this, they had an episode called "If Bono Were a Chess Piece." If Bono Were a Chess Piece. And this is the thing I did not know, was that Apple, which is famously has put a bunch of U2 in everybody's iPods recently. U2 and Apple started in the same year, 1976. We're not going to say how old each of us was in 1976 because that would get embarrassing. Yeah. But it was.
I won't tell you I wasn't born yet.
I won't even. I'm not going to throw anything across the desk at you, but that's okay. I will mentally throw things at you. Yeah, and I think I know what David's going to sit here and do. The very first song on their very first album was "I Will Follow," which, I mean, that's a ballsy first cut to go out with. I mean, that's an amazing song. And and the other thing I keep coming back to is they talk a lot about U2 and their career and what they did and how they started at this as this indie band and then became this huge, you know, you got a massive shit band. And, you know, I have to say, I'm not much of a U2 fan. I like the early stuff. I like your old stuff better than your new stuff. Yeah. But it's a very interesting conversation. And I was surprised at how much a conversation about U2 stuck with me because it normally wouldn't.
Because normally I tune out and hear Bono.
Yeah.
Have you ever noticed, sidebar, if you're watching, really? If you mean, sidebar, we really need to get that soundboard happening. But if you're watching a music documentary about any band, you know it's getting real when Bono pops up. It's got like, you know, they could be talking about the Rolling Stones and then Bono will turn up and go, they were one of the greatest bands in the history. It's like, oh, I've got the Bono seal of approval now.
Yes.
They must be good.
Do you know what was on the news about Bono? Why he wears the sunglasses?
Because he's a dick?
Well, you know, there's that. Supposedly he has an eye condition, glaucoma or something.
I take it back. I feel so bad now.
And, you know, why didn't he say that 20 years ago?
Because he's a dick.
Because he's a dick. You know, I'm sorry if you're a U2 fan, but yeah, that's a little wanky.
I used to work with someone who was a massive U2 fan,
and that's okay.
And you know, we still managed to talk, but it was always strained. Hi, if you're listening, you know who you are. The final podcast we'll talk about before we bring out a little bit of U2 is "Plumbing the Death Star," which is a title I'm pretty sure this is from Sans Pants Radio, which is the greatest. This is the greatest network podcast network.
Brilliant.
Name. the name is clearly taken from the conversation that was had in Clerks.
Yes.
About, you know, what about all the contractors on the Death Star when it blew up? You know, the second Death Star. You know, so they talk about, you know, the excruciating minutiae of pop culture.
Yes.
And in this episode, they were listening to why does Superman find Lois attractive? It wasn't so much I learned so much as it gave me a lot to ponder.
Yes.
They really got into some deep stuff, everything from bestiality to
how did they get
human-alien relations.
I don't think I want to know how they got there.
Listen to the episode. It is very silly. It is an Australian podcast too.
Oh, fantastic.
So
fantastic.
If you like listening to a couple of blokes sit around talking about Superman boning Lois,
And who wouldn't want to listen to that? I mean, seriously, that's...
I mean, a bit of crossover there with Behind the Panels, our other podcast that we do at the moment. So we're going to go out on a little bit of this, because we mentioned it already.
Absolutely.
And even though we both love you too, heaps and heaps.
Heaps and heaps.
So from myself, Amy Barker, and of course the GeekActually.com team, I want to thank you for joining us today. Hope you found some interesting podcasts to listen to. Hope you found this podcast interesting to listen to, because we just talk about podcasts. Of course, you can follow us, Amy, on Twitter where?
At PillowFortcast.
That's right. And you can also find us at geekactually.com. And of course, podcastpillowfort.com has its own website now. If you want to find out anything more about the shows we talked about today and any of the links we mentioned, go to that website at podcastpillowfort.com. We hope to see you here next time in our little podcast, Pillow Fort.